Reformation Sunday. It's an interesting time in the church because it is a day that we celebrate, in the Lutheran church anyways, is a time of our freedom. It was a celebration of freedom from the overstepping of the church at the time, where over the years leading up to 1517, things that had continued to accumulate that were not biblical, that were being brought in as, one might say, tradition, and yet they had no basis in Scripture, nor in church history or tradition. And so when Martin Luther, on October 31st, 1517, 501 years ago almost, nailed the 95 Theses to the door of the Wittenberg Church, it was his desire not to start a new church, but to reform the existing one. It was beyond his understanding at the time that he thought if you could show people through the canon of church law at the time, he's at the Wittenberg University, so he's saying, you know, if we can show them with the early church fathers, the Nicene fathers, that what is happening is not biblical, nor is not historic, then people will be just willing to change. Now, I don't know if you realize this, but people are not really willing to change. You might think that's only a 21st century issue. Well, I have news for you. It goes back to the beginning of time and has remained consistent throughout our time on this earth, okay? So when Martin Luther puts the 95 Theses on the door of the Wittenberg Castle Church and expects a change, he's shocked to find out that the people who are supposed to be the ones discerning what is true and what is not true are not willing to change. As a matter of fact, they act very hostile to his suggestions. But it's the people who at this time, because of the Gutenberg press, have access to what is happening and are starting to read and be able to read what was going on. Because of the Gutenberg press and because the 95 Theses was translated into German as well as Latin, the people get a chance to ask the same question that Martin Luther is asking. And it sets about a change that would impact the world. And the change is that average people are free. Average people have liberty to read the word in their own language, to learn what it means to be a disciple of Jesus Christ, not to be told through an intermediary what is truth, but to find it themselves. I don't know if you realize this, but, and again, it comes from a bias because I'm Lutheran, but I happen to think that the American Revolution, or if you grew up in where I grew up, it was called the American Rebellion. All depends on the perspective, right? But either way, I think that the tenets of the American Revolution come from the tenets of the Reformation. It was the belief of the founders of this country that when people were given the ability to learn and the freedom to learn, and that they were going to have the Bible and the freedom of religion and the ability to seek God and to hear from God and to listen to God, that they would make the right decisions. That they would govern the country appropriately. That they would be able to do the right things and the moral things because they would have access to God. They wouldn't have to go through an intermediary in the case of the government through the king. They could do it by having freedom and liberty. And so when Jesus is trying to explain to his disciples the meaning of authority and the heart of the Father towards the Son and towards the people to whom the Son calls, if you look at John chapter 5 and John chapter 6 and John chapter 7, Jesus is working really hard to explain to those who are following him what it means to understand the authority of God the Father that is he has given to his Son and his Son wants to give to his disciples. It's very confusing for the people at this time because they are used to being ruled. And so they listen to this, but it's hard for them to understand it. And so Jesus, after three chapters, if you read the chapters, he tries to explain many different ways, many different metaphors he uses to explain who he is. He says he's a door. He says he's living water. He feeds the 5,000. He does all kinds of things to impress upon them the authority of the Father that has been given to the Son, that the Son wants to bestow on his disciples and his church. And yet throughout the whole thing, they keep having this difficulty in that they really don't understand freedom. And it's very easy to understand this from the passage we have today from John chapter 8. When they respond to Jesus, when he says these words, he says, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. It's interesting because they don't really know how to handle this. Truth is a great responsibility, by the way. How many of us feel that truth is a great responsibility? How many of us think that it would be really nice just to go along with the culture and not have to speak up for the truth? Be kind of easy, right? Easier. You have to deal with your conscience. You have to deal with the Holy Spirit. You have to deal with God. I mean, there's a lot of downsides to it. But from the cultural point of view, it would be easier to just kind of go with the flow. It'd be easier just okay, fine. You believe that's right. Okay, fine. You have your right to your belief. I have my right. You know, it's hard to stand for the truth. But Jesus says, if you abide in me, if you abide in my word, if you've been listening to what I've said, if you abide in what I have told you, then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. You will know what it means to be free and what it means to have liberty. And this is how they respond. We are the offspring of Abraham and have never been enslaved to anyone. You know, because you've been taught the scriptures. Is that true? You want to talk about denial? Pardon me? It's a river, yeah. You want to talk about denial? You want to talk about people who are living in La La Land? That's L.A. for those of you. Anyways, you want to talk about people who are not in touch with the reality of their situation? We've never been enslaved to anyone, really. Let's think about this. They've been enslaved to the Egyptians for 500 years. They were taken away, most of them, by the Assyrians, especially in the northern kingdom. They were taken away by the Babylonians from the southern kingdom. They were ruled over by the Greeks. And now, at this very time, who's ruling them? Rome. But don't you find that people who don't want to change self-justify? You ever notice that people who don't want to change, who don't want to hear the truth, they've got all kinds of answers for you? Sin is what he tells them here, enslaves them. Sin holds us in bondage. Because obviously they're not looking at history. As I said, you see those ancient empires there? Every one of them controlled Palestine. Egypt, Assyria, Babylon, the Medo-Persians, I forgot about those, Greece, and Rome. Every one of them. Yet they still didn't remember this. They still denied it because they didn't want to hear the truth. I happen to know people that still believe, and it just boggles my mind, that the world is flat. Seriously. I mean, there are people out there that believe the things that are just beyond my comprehension because they want to. And in this day and age with the internet, you can find people who agree with you. You can have the most outrageous belief and you can find people who agree with you. That's the blessing of the internet, isn't it? What a wonderful blessing. So the people here, Jesus tries to impress upon them not only to, he doesn't attack their myth. He He doesn't say, yeah, really? What about the Egyptians? What about the Persians? What about the Greeks? What about the Romans? He doesn't do that. What does he do? He takes them back to the point where it really all began. Where were we enslaved? Where were we truly free and we experienced enslavement? Well, Garden of Eden, right? The Garden of Eden, where we listened to a myth, where we listened to a partial truth. Because what the serpent told Eve, was that all entirely wrong? No? What was true about it? They would know good and evil, and they didn't die immediately, right? And that's the way the world is. And so he goes right back to the beginning and he says, sin enslaves us. Sin is what enslaves us. It holds us in bondage. And then he says this powerful thing, which I think is so amazing. He says, truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The son remains forever. He's trying again to show the authority of the father passed on to the son, which the son wants to give to his disciples. He says, the son remains forever. So if the son sets you free, you are free indeed. Now, again, in our culture, maybe this isn't such a big deal because we are not in the same cultural tier as the people that we're talking to here, but this was an actual thing. If an heir inherited people who were enslaved, the heir could release them. If someone had given themselves over to slavery to pay a debt, or they wanted to remain as a as someone who was an indentured servant, when the heir came to power in the house, he could release them. That was his prerogative. So when the father gives the authority to the son, who is the heir, has the power to release them. We don't see that anymore because it's not part of our culture, but it was part of their culture. They understood this. So if they abided in him and his truth, and if they knew that he was the Son of God, who he said he was, they could receive this freedom. It was theirs for the taking. Well, how many people do you think took him up on it? A few. But not the thousands that were following him, right? He was starting to lose people when he said, you know, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you will not be my disciples. He started losing people. So, I mean, a lot of people don't do this. But what I want to talk about today is why the Reformation? How could 1,500 years of the church change things so dramatically that there had to be a call to freedom, even though it's here in the Word, and even though people throughout the time of the church were receiving Christ, were receiving His Word, how could we get so far away from the truth that we need to hear this whole theme of freedom? That's what the Reformation is about, right? It's about freedom. Because if the Son sets you free, you're free indeed. So why is it that we want to get enslaved? What is it about us that causes us to get enslaved? What is it that causes us not to hear and not to listen and not to receive the forgiveness won for us? Pardon me? Passivity. That's a good one. Fear. Yes. Tradition. Yes. Apathy. I was in a group discussion about a week and a half ago. And I just brought up this whole idea of saved by grace through faith. Now, in fairness, these were not all Lutheran people, okay? They're not well-versed in the lingo of the Lutheran church. And so I just brought it up just because I thought it would be kind of interesting. And, you know, we in the Lutheran church, we teach about those two big words that we use. What are they? Justification and sanctification. Well, those are a huge blessing. I want to tell you why. Because what I heard from the people I was talking to was trying to, on the one hand, say we're saved by grace, but yet figure out how do we do works. I kept wanting to just quote Ephesians 2, 8, and 9 to them. I kind of did at the end. Throughout the discussion, I just had to keep it, it was so hard. You know me, it was hard for me to bite my tongue. And I just did because I wanted to hear what they said. And I'll tell you something, it was such an experience for me as a Lutheran pastor to sit there and think to myself, well, if you just understood, this is justification. This is being saved by grace. There's nothing you can do on the side of justification. But on sanctification, that's what you do when you're saved and you want to live out your faith and you want to listen to the Holy Spirit and you want to do the works that God has prepared beforehand for you to do. See, there's complete freedom here in that you don't have to do works to be saved, right? But this is what they struggled with. It was so agonizing. It was so agonizing to listen to the explanation. These are knowledgeable people. These are people who are U of M graduates. It might have even been an Eastern graduate in there. I don't know to question them. But they're sitting around a table, and I just brought it up because I thought it was kind of interesting because it's a bunch of people who like to do good works. And I was just shocked because it's that whole idea of, well, we have to do good works because we need to be saved, but then we know that we can't, you know, it was just so agonizing. And I thought, I don't want anybody in my congregation ever to have to agonize like this. So bear with me. We are saved by grace through faith. It's not our own work. It's by grace through faith. Jesus died on the cross. He paid the price for all sin, past, present, and future. He is the heir. He is the son. If he sets us free, we're free indeed. Okay. That's justification. That's why we go to heaven, right? That's our justification. We're justified by grace through faith. But are we not created in Christ Jesus for good works? Isn't that what he wants to do with us? He wants to sanctify us, make us holy, and help us to do the works that he's prepared beforehand for us to do. Isn't that what Ephesians says? Isn't that what Brian read in Romans chapter 3? We're justified by grace, but we also are designed by God to do good things. And he desperately wants to fill us with the Holy Spirit so that by his power we do those things. Amen? And so I want to challenge you. I think that there was at least two people that after the discussion told me that they went through confirmation and they knew this stuff. But you know, when you listen to the media and you're out in the world, it gets all kind of twisted. And they shared with me how nice it was to have it laid out so simply. And I thought, isn't that what Jesus was trying to do for the people? He's not trying to argue with which group was better, the Sadducees or the Pharisees or the teachers of the law. He wasn't trying to argue with who was the best or who was doing right or what. He simply wanted to tell them, you're not going to be saved by your works. You got to abide in my truth. My truth says that God is the one who draws people to himself. God is the one who draws people through the Son. God is the one who feeds us. God is the one who teaches us. God is the one who's laid everything down. He's the truth. If you trust in him and abide in him, you will be my disciples. That's so simple. That's justification. That's what the Reformation was about. Why is it that we want to add things to justification? Because we mix up sanctification and justification. Lutherans, we say we mix up the law and the gospel. We kind of add things to the gospel and we take things away from the law. We mix things up. But it's that simple. If the Son sets you free, you are? Oh, I don't know. You haven't convinced me. If the Son sets you free, you are?
Free.
If the Son sets us free, we are?
Free.
Do you know the world needs to hear this? Because one of the things that just struck me, and I'm going to close with this, is just, that for many people, they always prefaced their statements, when I was listening to them, they always prefaced their statements by saying, I don't know. I don't know, but. I don't know, but I think. Well, I want you to leave here today knowing. trusting, abiding in the truth that Jesus Christ was born in the manger, lived, died on the cross, shed his blood, rose from the dead, has ascended to the right hand of God, and has poured out his Holy Spirit on the church, and he desperately wants us to know that we are free indeed. Amen? Amen. That we don't mix up justification and sanctification, that we don't mix up law and gospel, that we don't, that we can actually go to someone, and this is what happened thanks to the Reformation. People could actually go and say, I'm saved. You know that prior to the Reformation, that would have been something that was unheard of? Because it was only the church that could save you. And they kept you guessing until the end, hoping that you'd buy an indulgence or something. And unfortunately, not much changed. Because if the Son sets you free, you're
free.
So why do we want to add things? Well, it's human nature. So until the Lord takes us home, we're going to have to keep telling people the truth, amen? Letting them know that you're justified by grace through faith, yes. But you're also created for good works, and those good works flow out. And I want to make this very clear, and I promised I was going to close, but you got to bear with me here. This is a big topic. When we say we're saved by grace through faith, then we don't need to do anything in order to gain our salvation. This is perfectly true and right, amen? But out of this flows good works. And why does it flow? Because we want to do good works. It's a big word. We want to do good works. How many times have you seen people take that word want and put in have to? I mean, I've done it. I get frustrated when Christians who know Jesus, who are saved, who are forgiven, who are set free, who are made new, and then they go out and do the same thing they did just before they knew they were forgiven and set free and made new. And I'm like, it sounds when I'm talking to them, when I'm trying to hold them accountable, when I'm trying to disciple them, it sounds to them like I'm saying, you have to do this. That's not true. You're saved by grace whether you do it or not. But my prayer is by the Holy Spirit's power, you'll want to do. That's what the Reformation was about. Martin Luther was saying, you don't have to do these things, but you want to do them because you want more people to see what it means to live in Jesus. You want more people to be free. You want more people to abide in the truth and to be disciples. So may we be very clear, because this is a message that needs to be heard. We're justified by grace through faith. Not by own works, lest any man should boast. But we are also created in Christ Jesus for good works. And because we're saved, we want to do good works. Amen? Because we're free indeed, we want to celebrate our liberty by serving others. St. Paul had to tell the church in Corinth, just because you have liberty and freedom doesn't mean you can do whatever you want. Remember, you're causing your brothers to stumble. He says, I'm free to do anything, but yet I hold myself back in order that I may not cause someone to lose faith. That's the gift of knowing we're saved by grace through faith and yet being encouraged to want to do good works for the sake of Christ and for those who need to hear him. Amen? Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for this time that you've given to us. We thank you, Lord, for this worship time, for the time we get to hear your word. And we especially thank you that 501 years ago this week, Martin Luther was brave enough to post the 95 Theses, and to declare to the world that we need to get back to your word. We need to understand the Father heart of God and the authority given to the Son that he wants to give to his church. That we would know we are free. We are free indeed. And that we have freedom as believers. And yet we are also called, as believers, to use our freedom for the sake of the gospel. To glorify you and to praise you and to lead people to you. So Lord, may we never mix things up. May we always know we're justified by grace through faith and that we want to do the good works that lead people to you. Lord, strengthen us as we depart today. Fill us with the Holy Spirit. Help us to walk in your power and in your peace. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.